Accession number 18252, Reel 4.
Because it's that much mix up anyhow.
Yeah.
So I tell them, but nobody confirmed they weren't afterwards.
Sounds like another escape there, doesn't it, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I always said, I never had to be killed, but I was up there.
I understand that,
just that way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we came back and morning after the line had gone again. So they said, go out and, repair it. So I done the cement and repair it. So as we were going down the track, there's a carrier in front of us taking the food down to A Company.
Yeah.
Up the bloody carrier went hit a mine and blew over and killed.
Right.
So I'm going the lines here like this.
Yeah.
And I looked and there's these things sticking up like brushes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, look, we all looked at a blood mine field in the corner.
Oh yeah, because those were the brushes, were the ones that jumped out of the ground,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah. And the line was here, and they're all down there like that.
So you walked past it by about half a yard, by the sound of
that.
Yeah.
Never. So we left that then, and then we went to. Eventually, it came for I can't think of the name that they gave for the operation. We had to cross the canal again. Was it the Rockwell Canal?
Yes. Rubble Canal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who liberate Newnham, Nunham?
Well, yeah, Newnham. Newnham, N-U-N-H-E-M.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right.
As far as dates are concerned, where are we? About the middle of November, aren't
That's
we?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I think when we eventually took Nunham, I can be a day out, Nunham and near, it will be the 18th of November.
Right, that must be about right. Yeah, it is. This is the 18th to the 26th of November, and it mentions near here.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we went out, it was a wonderful thread which went over the canal first, made the bridge in, and then we went over and opened up off where they got the ground there. There was comparatively little opposition, in fact there was very little. So eventually we got into the village, it's not much more than a village, of Nunham, which we set up in, I think it was a school, where we set the signal office up.
Yeah.
So from there, John Bennett, who was a land sergeant at the time, a great friend, said, there's a patrol going down to near. Will we? So out we went together with the set. With the patrol, roughly, if I remember right, about a mile or so from Nunham to near.
Yeah.
And as you face the marsh, near was on your left hand side.
Yeah.
So down we went, into the village, down the slope, fog, mist, damp, cold, melancholy.
It was like that all the time there on the marsh, wasn't it, Sir Tommy?
And not a sign of anybody in the village.
Yeah.
So we went right through it and come back.
Yeah.
Coming back, the last man in patrol got killed. He got shot with a sniper.
Yeah.
So we went to search, but we couldn't find him. So we went back to Nunham again. Then I was sent out with others to patrols. There was a comical name farm, I can't remember the name of it, it'd be about half a mile from the marsh.
Burns Farm.
They called it that after it had been set on fire.
Yeah.
But before that it had a name, I don't know.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I had to lay this line out with them, in the party. So what we did at this, I'm not sure who it was, he took us out at daytime to these trees to take a map reference so they would know what the marsh was at night. So we did this, and so we went out at night. We didn't rough it, but the same place he took his reference from.
Yeah.
So it came, the fog came down.
Yeah.
So out we go, and we had a salt cable, right thin stuff. Once you laid it, you never picked it up again.
Right.
Out, we set this company up into this far section, into this farm.
Yeah.
So out we went, So we kept saying to him, we'll ring back to headquarters and find out where we are. But in the farm we could see three haystacks and they were round one in Holland. So we got back to and it was Major Griffin who was sent in command. He wouldn't do it at first, and in a minute he told them where they were. We were only 30 yards from the farm. So we got the farm, laid it in, and laid the line down, and it was just coming dawn. You could see the water shining on the marsh. And you could see them enough, so we got back. But before that happened, the signal officer said, go out with the intelligence officer before they got this farm for us. spotting.
Mm.
Stopped him all day, and we were watching across for any sign of the enemy. So I was with the intelligence officer and me, and we stood there all day in the cold with the wireless set. Not a word went on. So we came back, then after that, this farm. So yeah. The line kept going. So one night out again, to repair the line, and taking a patrol out was to take these others back.
Yeah.
You know, just
to leave one.
So we're going, and we get to the burnt out farm, and there's wires across, not going the rest of the way to ruined. Dodger Green, who I take up here in the Ardennes, he's going over, and his Bren gun caught on the wire. And it fired, because they're very tricky.
Yeah.
Very lights are going up, the flares are going up, shells are coming down, machine guns opened up. And so bloody carry on in the line.
Is this all from the other side of the river?
Yeah.
The fire's coming over from the other side of the river.
So we let low and said nothing, you know?
Sure.
Quieting down. So then when we got the communication again, we were on his way back. Shot rang out, a Jerry got among us.
Yeah.
And he got away and he killed one of us.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe a patrol would that have been, come over from the other side of the river.
And he got mixed them, he thought of his own, and he found out who we were.
And
I believe they got two prisoners, and they tried to get information about them. They said they'd come over in rubber boats.
Yeah.
But he didn't give anything away.
No, right.
Anyhow, that what it consisted of mostly was that.
Yeah.
So, well, we was at Nunham.
Yeah.
Signal Sergeant Jackson said to me, "Tom, will you take over on signal office?" So I goes into signal office and takes over. Now, with young lad, there's a one called Wally, 18 years of age, a nice lad.
Yeah.
And he hadn't used to the exchange. But what you do, the one who's in charge is a signal clerk.
Yeah.
But he wasn't used to it, so I said to him, "You go and do the clerk, and I'll get you started with the exchange."
Yeah.
So, right, in comes Sergeant Jackson. Anyhow, in between, over in near it, after we cleared originally, the Black Watch came over and took it.
Yeah.
And stayed there, and they had a platoon or a company or something dug in the cellar.
Yeah.
So we had to lay lines to them.
Yeah.
So you know. Yeah. So, anyhow, this day, a night, I took over on the signal office, and I let Wally, who called him, rather, go on his signal clerk, and I did the exchange. But in comes Sergeant Jackson. So he said, "What are you doing up there?" I said, "Well, he's not used to it. Well, he's got to get used to it." I said, "Yeah, but you know."
Yeah.
So he said, "Well, you do that, and I'll teach him, you know, sure."
Yeah.
So he's on. Anyhow, what they mostly did while he was there, is that if the Jerry's fired, you get a shell wrecked on them.
Yeah.
They send it in, and our guns would fire back at them.
Yeah.
So, the message coming in, I took this message out and I sent it out. Sergeant Jackson said to me, "The message here from B Company." I said, "Okay." So when you get off, I don't know, but it all changed anyhow. So I said, he said B for Baker. He said, "Yeah." So I took the message down, sent it out to the duty officer. About an hour after, somebody comes through the door. You know who?
Yes, the guy with the who was doing this with the sleeves before.
"Something I could do, seeing some of my men brought in on stretches," that's what the bastard said.
Yeah.
So he came in, he said, "Who took this message?" I said, "I did, sir." "Where do you get it from?" I said, "B Company." "I sure it's B Company." I said, "Yeah, B for Baker." I asked him. "Glad he hasn't come from B for Baker." He said, and I twigged.
Yeah.
It's a company, B Company, the Black Watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jack hadn't said so to me, you know.
He just said B Company.
You see, and I checked it with B Company.
Yeah.
You're never wrong in that, really. You're only getting at it, you see. Yeah. This is not right, and that's not right. He said, because of the signal, just for that, you will be back to duty tomorrow. That meant in the company again, you know.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I said, "Sir, I'm from the rifle on the beach of Dunkirk." I thought, "Sonny."
Yeah.
"Get out," he said. "You got out." Nobody said a word. "I don't know." So I'm waiting, and I went into the big hall, where, well, the hall, the stage, and I that business stuff up ready for going to a bloody company.
The chap that you're talking about now is the chap that, I've forgotten his name as well.
Hawkins.
With the chap that threatened you with court martial earlier.
That's him.
The same guy. That had this habit of tidying up his cuffs.
Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah.
So I went back, and one day went past, 2 days went past, I'd done a bloody dicky bird, I hadn't heard a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to go, you know.
Yeah.
And I just bit my mouth, but I did. So they came over in bombers.
Yeah.
And they killed some Manchesters. The lines were all gone to bugger, you know.
Yeah.
So they come in, and Jackie said, come, go out and help repair the lines.
Yeah.
I said, hey, you know, bugger him, he said. I'll tell you, so out I went, and I'm doing this, I smashed it, and I'm repairing the lines, and he came past, he never said a word, man.
No.
So I went out and repaired them.
Mm.
And night after, day, I don't know when it were, get going out and repairing it. So Sam Jackson came and he said, we won't sing office. I said, no,
don't
worry, sir. So I went on sing office. He came in the office and he said,
didn't he? So why? So you just decided to drop it, presumably, did you? Mm-hmm.
So I went out on lines again, and John Bent, who was a landside, a great friend of mine, went out. So he says to me, Tommy, what's to do with you and Hawkins?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I did all know, because others had told me what you were saying, you could read his men coming on the stretchers. What I said, why? He said, well, you know the old things you ordered in. I said, yeah. He said, of course you're up for a corporal, you know. I said, oh, I don't know.
He said, the thing had gone like a full circle there somewhere.
He said, what's to do with you and him? So I told him. He said, no bloody wonder. He said to me, him, don't mention that bloody man's name to me again. So anyhow. Dear God. So we went out laying these lines again, and already come at the rate programme again at usual time, and we dropped down flat,
yeah.
And we're going to Neum, in the line, just to Neum.
Yeah.
And when it finished, we got up and we looked at this pile, he was doing this one,
yeah.
And it was a pile of mortar bombs and that.
All right.
I said to John, bloody hell, I said, if you did this, we're not St. Peter down at the gate.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, we pulled out of there, and afternoon, we moved from one place to another, further down, and back to near.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time dodging around that canal.
And then they pulled
you?
Us back to Roggle for a rest.
Yeah.
Well, we're there, who came, but Lieutenant General Sir Miles Dempsey.
Yes.
And he came, oh, I don't know, he came round and he talked to us all, he talked to me. I remember him saying, like, how are you? You know,
yeah.
6'2" a fella.
Yeah.
How are you? Is anything you satisfactory? Is anything you wanted? All over the books. But anyway, a very nice man.
Yeah.
So after he been there, I understand we were going to go back into Belgium. I'll think of your name in a minute.
Merck's Pass.
That's it. To train ready for the attack into the Reichswald Forest.
That's right.
But in between, we didn't know what was happening, but they put us in the right place. We're in an asylum.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Because I remember the beds being in the bed with the signs, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, it changed, and then this Rona came through. We were moving, but we didn't know where we were going. Of course, I didn't know then. So we formed up outside, and we waited and we waited, and it got colder and colder.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't get them off because we were waiting to move.
Yeah.
So we got to know that, so we were moving up into Belgium.
Yeah.
Up into the Ardennes sector.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but at that time, when you were thought you were going to train for the Reichswald attack, the Germans had counterattacked through the Ardennes,
right.
Which was later to be known as the Battle of the Bulge.
That's
down
right.
There. So you were sent down there.
Yeah.
But
what they did was they put us in 30 columns under General Oryx.
Yeah.
So we went up in eventually. Terrible, it took about 18 hours and it was cold and pretty cold.
Yeah.
So we moved up into the part of the Ardennes. Mm. So I have to study now exactly as the programme goes on. I'm remembering it once I'm doing, really.
I'm sure it does.
Fast. We went into this place, and I'll tell you why I remember it in particular, and the snow started.
Mm.
And it snowed about 6 inches and it was bloody cold.
Mm.
So, I'll think of the name in a bit. Something about distemplars or something in the word.
Femme distemplars.
Am I right?
Femme distemplars.
Ah.
Yes.
Anyhow.
A farm or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
But every month we would name this line, to this, it was like a shooting lodge or something, we laid it to there.
Yeah.
And then we got to know somebody, Brody Kirk, that there was a midnight mass on the hill, big hill, and on the top of a sanatorium. This is how I remember it.
Because this is now almost Christmas.
Yeah, it may be Christmas Eve.
Well, Christmas, yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
because we'd heard about this, so we decided that we got to go there. So we went up the hill, and the service, the mass was underneath the sanatorium, right underneath, big, terrific big room. I can always remember it so plain.
Yeah.
And there must have been hundreds in.
Yeah.
And we were at the back of the interventions, and they had mass, and they'd orchestra there, and they'd TB patients, and they sitting in there, because it's a separate thing, and there were three or four of us there, Johnny Lamb, John Bennett, Bernard Broderick, he wasn't there, myself, and I always remember a mother who was singing, I remember him talking the Latin, I remember him doing Schubert's Ave Maria, and I can always remember it stuck in my mind, I could just, snow falling. Silent Night.
Silent Night, oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, wonderful,
we didn't use that in England, you never used it that much, you know. It wasn't as popular as it is now. So after the mass we came down, laid the line, I can remember moving again, and I remember coming, I'm missing some days out here, to the Chateau d'Ardennes.
Yes.
Royal Chateau d'Ardennes.
Yes. Was this the one that was a hunting lodge of the King of the Belgians or something?
No, wasn't it was a famous hotel was this.
Got it. Okay.
And we were in the annex and it was a lovely bed and it was warm. We were only there a night.
Yeah.
Then we moved from there to the, what you just said, the Signon or what you call it.
Yeah, another chateau, King of the, a hunting lodge or something.
Yeah, belonged to the King of the Belgians.
Chateau Royal de Signon.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But it had bitches in it. All these nobility and tapestries and outside were all the Yanks, we took over off the Yankees.
Yeah.
And when the scare was going on about the Germans being dressed in Yankee uniforms.
Spies all around and so on, they
and
thought.
So they didn't do to believe, knew not to believe, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we was there, it was bitter cold. Oh, it was horrible.
Snow on the ground.
So we marched, we from there, and I remember again we moved on, and I was in. We stayed in this little house and we were on duty and I can't, this would be, I'd say, it, well, I'll tell you what it was the Eve.
New Year's Day would it be?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, right.
And I'll tell you why, no, again, it's never to do with it. I got some letters come through with my mother and that. Now there was a girl I knew many years and she always after me, but I would never take him back. Because I thought, there's no way the captain would put all this, and you'd look yourself out having been married.
Yes.
But anyhow, she tried to, I didn't do it. So I got this letter this Christmas Eve, and it said, Johnny, I'm just trying to let you know, by the time you received this letter, it's a called Hooker, and my name would be McDermott.
Oh, right.
And I thought, no,
you said Christmas Eve, but you meant New Year's Eve, didn't you?
New Year's Eve. So. We were in this here little house and it was a bit of cold and we had a bit of oil lamp going and there was Birkwood fella, myself and a great friend of mine, his brother's a colonel, he was private. We played, I never played before, played poker together in the corridors in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we moved off from there. All the terrible roads, it was skidding and it was shocking. Till we moved somewhere again, Hopton, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. A place called Hopton. Yeah.
Somewhere outside, I don't know just where it was.
Yeah.
But we were supposed not to move for another day to the Yankees, but they decided to move us.
Yeah.
So on, there may be a day out, it was either 2nd or 3rd of January, we moved up in to take over off the Yanks in the line.
Well, you're dead right, because that was the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was called, it was a chateau ruined, and there were two villages, and one was called Verden, and the other was called Marianne, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So we took over this chateau, and when they got into it, I remember them saying there were the woman had died down at Figueroa, now I remember all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the snow around, so we took over the by bit. As the Yanks came out, there were two for our one going in.
Yeah. I remember there were two for our one. You were sending one in for there too, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so, there was snow everywhere, bit of coal, so we laid lines out to the different companies, you know?
Was there much evidence of fighting around there? Because you'd just gone in to take over from American positions. So they must have been fighting in there, mustn't they?
Right, just come away from the chateau, and at the bottom of this big track going up into the hill, there was the village of Burden. There was two tanks knocked out, Jerry tanks there.
And
someone said, I didn't look, but someone said there were women inside. I don't know where they were.
In the tanks?
That's what they said. I'm only saying what they said.
So
we did all this light doing, and then we heard at night that we were attacking the following morning up the hill to see if we were to close the gap again from escaping. Bitter cold. So we were in the light all about that night. We got word of part of the cellars of the chateau underneath. And I can always remember them being in there night time. And remember the little bats flying about. Remember that, you say.
Well, when you say it's that high, what do you mean? You're in like a tunnel, which is
about
2 yards,
that's
a yard and a half high,
that's
or something.
Right. Bricked, yeah.
Yeah, bricked up, yeah.
Yeah. And we were.
And there are bats in there, yeah.
That's right, yeah, flying around. Because one, they picked up little leather wings, what about that big?
Yeah, yeah.
And came down, so they said to me, the John Bennett, you're. On tomorrow, the colonel's single order.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I meant donkey, so I've been set on.
Yeah.
So it starts off, and just before it started snowing again. And it come down, it was one big blizzard. You couldn't see your hand in front of you.
This is in Hotton? This is
at Verdun.
Oh, Verdun, right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it worked, it won. Company went from Marianne up one slope.
Yeah.
The main approach was from Verdun, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So the attack with one company forward, I can't remember which one it was, and we were forward battalion headquarters, which were next to the company.
Yeah.
So I'm with Colonel Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So up the slope we go, not a thing, nobody, you couldn't see us, we couldn't see anything anyhow.
Yeah.
So when we got about 3/4 way up, cleared a bit, and we kept into the trees at the side of the track, so they wouldn't. And we're going forward, and they opened up on us. And it was a mobile field gun, you know?
Yeah.
So he gave us a bit of a plastering. Now, we see something else. And a set on. They're all there, the girls there, and everybody. We'll be firing. They know, they dropped it around, you see?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I knew we were in sticky, you know. I thought, I swear, you bloody sods, if I'm going to go, I'm going to take somebody with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I hadn't my rifle cocked. And it was bloody old.
Yeah.
Got the cold, or what it was, I had to post that oil on it, and I had to turn it down and kick it.
Yeah.
To open it. I always remember it's plain as anything.
Yeah.
And I kicked, and he was watching, but the colonel, you know.
Yes.
Nearly again.
Nearly got done another one.
That's right.
Because that's the isn't that the first thing you've got to do as a soldier? Yeah. Look after your wanted rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
But I probably swapped the rifle. I don't know what it was, but I did look. But anyhow, this is how it worked. The cold or what the hell it were.
Yeah.
And the hands were that cold.
Yeah.
But I bloody opened it and was fired and was shit. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I think he thought this fella here going to charge. I would have charged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't see him.
No.
See?
Yeah.
So we moved on again. I'll tell you, that's that's what gets you through, I think. We got to the crossroads and the cross tracks. We moved left, went along, cleared some more machine guns out until the company stopped at this place. It was only an opening, you know.
Yeah.
And it was all fir trees.
Yeah.
This green gold. Yeah. So when it might turn off duty, I'd Andy, well, I run to the top of the hill and I'm with him. And who comes up but. And he said.
Sleeves again. Yeah.
Well done, Neary.
Oh. Compliments, eh?
And I just looked at him and I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, we've got the first stage where the centre compass forward along this frozen river, that little stream,
yeah.
And we were here at regimental headquarters.
Mm.
So I was took off duty for the time being, I was in this flip tent with John Bennett.
Mm.
God bless us, if I could.
Mm.
And I put this gas tape around me, and I'm in like this in the tent, and he's there, and he says to me, "How can you stand it, Tommy?" I said, "I'm kidding myself." You know?
Yeah.
It was so bitter cold.
You're telling yourself it's not as cold as it is or something.
You know, we went to cross one and also transfer. Anyhow, went out mending, taking communication down to the line and all the rest of it, and that went on. So it went out on patrol, and so I thought the brave mate was only on patrol with the colonel.
Yeah.
He should be keeping the rifle, and so at least he'd bloody fight me. Yeah. He'd be only clubs him.
So at this stage, because you mentioned the cold and how bad the ground was, but they couldn't dig in either, could you?
No.
Because you had to use hand grenades or something to try and blow holes in the ground. Rock, yeah.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah.
I've never been as cold as
And when you took over some of the American positions, they hadn't really dug in, apparently, had they? They were shallow trenches.
Right. Well, it's grapes.
Yeah.
So, he went on and he went out on forward. And I remember, this would be the day before, I went with him, all the snipers and rest, and I put the same with him again, as you know, there.
Yeah.
And he must have thought, I don't know, at least I have a scrap. Anyhow, I went with him and... We're on this poor edge of the trees, and we went right down and up the valley. That must have been for Grimbymont eventually.
Yes, yeah.
And it was half a mile.
Yeah.
All smoke. And the only time in my life I got this terrible feeling for boring. I never even. I did. Anyhow, we came back, and we should have attacked on the 6th of January, I think. But we didn't.
Well, toward Grimbymont, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason was they'd been counterattacked on the left flank, some of the Welsh regiments.
Yeah.
And they had to counterattack to take it back again.
Yeah.
But on the 7th of January, we went into the attack.
Yeah.
Now, I was again appointed a signal road leader to the colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all the command set, and I had to get A Company, B Company, C Company, D Company, Support Company, all on net.
Yeah.
And also the RA.
Yeah.
Now, further away from about 200 yards was the rear link to brigade.
Yeah.
And they had also one of our signals in there, Dodger Green.
Mm.
I got them all on net, but I couldn't get the RA on the place. So it got 5 minutes to 12 or something like that, and John Bennett said to me, "You're shelling this all around, you know."
Yeah.
He said, "It's a bit rough here." And the adjutant, Captain Vargas, was stood there and hourly up the set.
Mm.
So we got up, we moved over to where a carrier were knocked out and cranks down.
Mm.
As I crouched down, I heard this scream, and a bump, and I could hear it. You know, like you hear a fire alarm,
it
went louder and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
And then, when I came round, there was nobody there, you know? So...
When you came round, you were knocked out by something happened.
Conscious, yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long after it was, you see. Yeah. But when I come all the way over, then deathly silence, or nothing.
Right.
So...
And that was the feeling you had, the foreboding or something, was it, that you mentioned,
before,
that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I came round, I don't exactly how it was, I can remember that, but it's... So, I come round, and to the ground. I must have been down like this somewhere on the ground, you know.
Yeah.
And I looked round me and my tin nap were there, you see.
Yeah. Just at the side of it, yeah.
I picked it up. And when I picked up it up, the side were out completely.
Knocked out, yeah.
Yeah, nothing there.
Yeah.
Well, jagged, you know.
Yeah.
And the other side was as big as my fingernail.
Yeah.
And I tell you exactly what I thought. I can remember now. And I'm not ashamed of it. I said, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph. I can see.
Mm.
I can hear.
Mm.
I can think." And I put it back up.
Really? Yeah.
And I've still gone unconscious again. You know?
Yeah.
And then I heard somebody coming up, and they said in his ear, and it was the DR, Nobby Wilcock, Tomo, him as I said, reporters, who shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Put it back out of the way again.
Yeah.
And Mouncey, Fred Mouncey.
Yeah.
And I remember Nobby, an old friend of mine, bunched me up. I can see his hands shaking,
Banded
me up, and he carried me, put me on this here, they call it a weasel, first time they used wide track.
For the icy ground.
That's right.
It was an American vehicle, wasn't it, apparently?
Yeah, he did the job.
Yeah.
So when they got me on, they said, hold him on, will you? And his stretchers in the room. So I put my arms around, told him. And though I could still see, I could tell he was, you know,
Cool.
And he threw at me. And I'm trying to help cheer him up.
Yes, yeah.
And down the street went down, and I didn't remember, because I couldn't see properly. I could see him more properly. And it went down the track, him from Cronin, who was sounding the intelligence. I knew him well. He died. So out of the headquarters, there were 13 out of 16. Right?
13 out of 16, were.
So, what do you call him? Wild Goose. Where we'd have the set, they never found him. He told me after, I didn't know.